1 Corinthians 13:1. And everything in the kingdom is motivated, or God is motivated by love. I'm looking at another scripture here while you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tonight. Sometimes we just need to kind of pump the brakes, don't we, in life, and not get upset about things and really count our blessings. Part of getting into the Word is getting perspective on life. The devil wants to get you off, wants to get your perspective on things off all the time. Everything's awful. Everything's terrible. I'm awful. I'm terrible. Everything's going down the tubes. The devil is all about fear, and the Word and Jesus are all about faith, possibilities, right? Things turning around. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, since we're there. I love the Message. I'm sure there's going to be some dudes and gnarlies and all kinds of other stuff in this translation, but we'll go with it. 1 Corinthians 13, 1. But I really like this because we'll get into about verse 7. But it's really good. And it says, if I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith to say to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. So what's he really saying here? What's your motivation, right? And then in verse 3, it says, if I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Here's what I want to get to. Start out. Love never gives up. You know, the devil is all about quitting. That's his whole life. It's just when things get tough, then he leaves. Never giving up. Love cares more for others than for self. You know, I'm a kid. I remember Brother Hagin once. Now, this isn't us, but it was really funny. Brother Hagin took over a church, and he said he was preaching on love, and he said, I preach on love for weeks and weeks and weeks. And I'd go home every night and want to skin all of them alive. That's not all of us, okay? But I'm just saying that, you know, and I've told this, Adrian. I said, sometimes I'm embarrassed to be a Christian. You know what? Just the people in the world, the dumb things they do and the dumb things they say and just all kinds of crazy stuff, right? Religion, right? Religion will Jesus dealt with religion, right? He heals people on the Sabbath, but then they turn around and want to kill Jesus because he heals somebody on the Sabbath. It's like, that's a good thing, right? Somebody getting healed, but they want to kill him for it. That's what religion does. It doesn't see the person. It sees the stipulation, right? The exception, not hey, we're actually helping people here. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Here we go. Love doesn't strut. I don't get into arguments with people about stuff, you know, try not to fight and argue with people about doctrine and stuff, but you start talking to some of these religious folks and boy, they get mad. They get angry, you know. They just start, I went to this school and I did this. I've never gotten anybody saved doing that. Have you? Or anybody, you know, bashing somebody upside the head? Adrian and I, we used to go to Mardi Gras. Oh, that's a blessing. Yeah. And we're thinking about sometime taking our girls down there. Just so they can have an eye opening. But you know, the amazing thing is, they'll get their eyes open, both of them, right? And you see, I'm sure it's probably worse than it was when we went down there years ago. But we would go down there, okay? And see, the people don't like to be condemned, but I remember being on the street corner talking to people and about the Lord and witnessing and things like that. And we would go down and just talk with people, and the Holy Ghost would share things, and we'd pray over people. But then there'd be somebody down the street, just right down there, would have a bullhorn yelling, "You're going to hell, you're going to hell." Okay, sometimes things may be true, right? You're pouring gas in the fire, right? I mean, sometimes if you're led of the Lord and they need a conviction and that's the way they're going to turn around, okay, maybe, right? But the love of God brings people to repentance. And we always talk about sometimes too that the girls will come home and we'll talk about different things, and, well, this person said this, this person said this. I thought, who'd want to serve God if God is putting sickness and disease on people and he wants us to suffer all the time? Now, the Bible talks about you'd suffer for what? The word's sake. But not just, hey, we're all going to be sick and God's got this sick sense of humor where he's, you know, wanting to put sickness on people and beat us up all the time. And, no, who'd want to serve a God like that? Nobody would. But I did find out that when I loved on people, it sure is, it's a whole lot easier to get you know, the medicine down with honey than it is with vinegar, right? I love it. Love doesn't strut. And I have a time, I'll confess, I mean, I love the King James Version, but sometimes it just goes over, you know, people's heads. And I remember one time I was witnessing one of my pastors, we were on the streets witnessing to people, and he's a King James guy too, but I always talk with him about my testimony, and just whenever I talk to people about different things, and to share that my testimony, I would get into these and thous, and I may quote scripture, but they don't know I'm quoting scripture, right? And I'm just telling him my testimony, what I happened, where I was at, and everything else too, and he's sitting there quoting like all this King James scripture to people, and I'm thinking, they ain't getting it. And it may be a pride thing how much, you know, scripture, you know, you can quote, but they don't understand it. They don't know what it is you're talking about, right? So, you know, Paul often said, I'm to every man, meaning I change often. That doesn't mean you change who you are, but what it means is I shift gears and change my approach on the level that I'm talking with people on. Because why? Because the message, getting the message across them, is more important than me trying to prove myself. Love doesn't strut. It's interesting how all these people will be online and they'll have all these videos and about you know, beating this person up or this or that. And you know, the word will speak for itself. Does not have a swelled head. Doesn't force itself on others. I could probably read this every day. I need to read this every day. We could all, I mean, the love walk is not something that you just, oh, I got it down. Wait. Wait about 10 minutes, you know, when the kids are, wake up about 4 o'clock in the morning, let's see how your love walk is, right? Now, I'm working better on my road rage, okay? Didn't have it, and I'm like, Jesus, I'm getting under control. So I'm doing better. I am. But you know what, though? We're going to read here in a minute. Doesn't force itself on others. I remember just, again, doing witnessing, and now force yourself on others. Now, this is something, too, where I think people in leadership could probably take a few things, you know, because anytime you're in leadership or anything, trying to manipulate and I'm sure I'm probably the only one that's had a boss like this too, we're always trying to manipulate people. And because you're in a source of in a position of power, you feel like you can manipulate people, right? Now, let me just say something. Just because maybe you have a position doesn't give you the right to run over people, right? And that could be parents. I mean, we as a husband, as a wife, whatever that is, what is it? We're not here to run over the other person, are we? Doesn't force itself. Isn't always me first. This is kind of a painful list, isn't it? Right? It's amazing how, and my kids picked up on this, and they was like, Dad, don't use this. I don't use names. Okay, so you know who it is. All right. But if you're ever going out to eat, now sometimes we always have extra people that show up, you know, like, you know, sometimes after church we have extra people that kind of pop up every once in a while. I'm like driving along, I'm like, oh, we got an extra kid in the car. And then today it's like, oh, we got an extra kid in the house. Oh, we got this extra person. But I always notice when we're out to eat that as I'm eating and everything, somehow my plate is free game for everybody at the table. I don't know why. But it's like, I'm the biggest, I usually eat the most, but somehow my food disappears, and somehow we haven't got the memo that, you know what, my plate's my plate, your plate. But it's the whole scenario of like, okay, and everybody else thinks that their meal is their meal, and Dad's meal is their meal for some reason. I don't know what that is, but again, it's just, but I'm always walking around the house, making sure that everybody's eat first, they have food, you know, everybody's, you know, gotten plenty. But I mean, maybe just pick up on that. And of course, I don't care. You know, I'll order more. But the point is that if it's like, it's not always a me first, right? And that's immaturity, right? That's just, you know, immaturity that, you know, you're always wanting me first. What are the kids at our house? Always, I called first. Okay. I called first. I never knew. I'm called Dad. What are you called? So it doesn't, just kind of funny when you think about it. It doesn't fly off the handle. The love walk, right? Doesn't fly off the handle. Now, years ago, he was playing bars and everything, and we was, you know, always laugh because it's the bar chick mentality. Just this whole, you know, I'm going to tell everybody what else you're going to do, and just this attitude that, you know, kind of the world has sometimes, and some people mistake that as boldness. And sometimes there's a need where you kind of need to, you know, whether you're protecting people or you're doing things, and there's maybe a time for that. But some people, they do it all the time. I've been around people that their life is just blow up all the time, right? And too many people in the world, you know, especially kids or young people, well, I just told him this, and I just told her that, and I told her this. That isn't something necessarily to brag about, right? It means you just don't have self-control, you know? And I, you know, there's times where I, you know, I'll admit I'm, and this is something that I am, and you know, just like Bible talks about, we'll see here in just a minute, make love your great quest. That's what I'm, Adrian and I was committed. This is what we're committed to do. Amen. And my flesh will burn the playhouse down and everybody in it, right? Because it's just, I grew up, this is a propensity to, you know, and those are things more manipulation, try to get things to do, people to do what you want to do. And those are, that's nothing to be proud of at all. One of the things to get better is to recognize what your weaknesses are, right? And to say, I don't want to be like this. And you know what? God can help you if you're falling short in areas, because that's what we all do. I do. It doesn't matter, you know, how long you've been walking with the Lord. We're in the flesh. Until we step on the other side, we're still going to have to deal with flesh, right? And so, doesn't fly off the handle. Most people, again, they think that's something to be proud of. Boy, I'm just real bold. I'm just real this. I remember being in, kind of going back to that, I remember being in church services, time in churches years ago, and some ministers would get up and just say things to people, and pastors would say something, well, you know, I'm just being bold. Well, the Bible says we're to speak things in love, right? God doesn't go around purposely trying to embarrass people or put people down or do things. Or, you know, it says that, you know, we're here to cover up sin, not cover it up, but it means multitude. Love covers a multitude of sins, right? It just means that we don't need to expose things of people of people, and to try to manipulate people, right? With whatever that is. And and I just remember one time I was in a church, and again, we had some friends of ours that, unfortunately, this happened a few times, but one church we were in had some friends that got killed. And they supposedly had a prophecy that, you know, well, you know, it was kind of construed that if they left the church, something would happen. And the preacher went on, this church that I was at one point when I was younger, basically said that, well, these people died because they left the church. You can't say things like that, right? You can't infer those things, right? We have no idea, because they left the church, that they died. And so what happened was, we had all these people, they were, you know, afraid to get, you know, oh, if I do this, I'm going to get out of God's will. And so it was a point of manipulation, which is completely wrong. Right? Wrong, right? But the point is, that's not love, is it? To try to manipulate people to stay in a church because you don't want people to leave, and, you know, find it, whatever that is. Right? It's like manipulating your spouse to stay with you. They should want to be with you because they love you, right? And your kids. We always tell our kids, you know, we're just talking the other night, and I said, excuse me, just because they're pastor's kids, I don't expect perfection out of them. They're going to make mistakes, right? Your kids are going to make mistakes, right? I don't hold people or any of you to the standard of Jesus. I want us all, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, right? You're going to make mistakes. Nobody here is going to rub your nose in anything you've done in the past. That's love, right? And the same with that. I'm talking about, it doesn't matter, you're going to make mistakes. If you have breath in your lungs, oh, pastor, you're just speaking unbelief, you're speaking things that are, no, I'm talking about humans, right? Now, there's a difference between willingly sin and going, doing things, rebelling against God, and there's other things, just I just make a mistake, right? Well, don't go out and just willfully go sin and rebel against God. We're not talking about those things. And don't do that. Even if you do miss the mark, forget it. Move on. Move on. But you're going to make mistakes. And the devil will be right there to put a heap of condemnation on you. Isn't that great? He just shows up at the right time when mistakes happen. You miss the mark. You've done things, right? I mentioned it last week, but the disciples, what later became the apostles, they didn't have all the answers. You know, the Bible talks about being led by the Spirit. Well, what are they doing there in the book of Acts? What, they're casting lots to try to replace Judas. So there's nothing spiritual about that, drawing straws. That's about the most carnal act. It's like, meeny, miny, mo, I choose you. Well, they had Jesus right there walking with them the whole time, telling them what to do every single way. Now he's gone. Now they've got to what? Learn how to do things, right? I'm going to say something. It may offend people, but I'm just saying, that's why new baby Christians come in and they have things like smoking cigarettes and dealing with things. Sometimes things don't fall off people immediately, right? Doesn't mean God doesn't love them. Right? I'm talking about today, you know. Talking about this whole love thing and just about whole, whether the people are gay or, you know, whatever lifestyle they're living, they still need love. Right? And it was sad because there was a person, we were just talking about today, there was a person that that was claiming to be Christians, and there was a person that was, you know, dressed whatever, and obviously they were confused. So they took it on themselves to take pictures of this person on the phone, laugh about it, and send it to everybody. I'm embarrassed to be a Christian sometimes. Really, it's painful sometimes to be called a Christian, right? It's, you know, these things are, now, do I agree with the lifestyle? No. But here's the thing, too. I don't know what that person's been through. Right? Correct? I mean, there are people that I know in my life that have, one person that is a very good friend of mine that we have been, really good friend of mine, and he's struggled with, you know, a lot of these, you know, issues in his life. He's been physically abused, sexually abused, all of these things. And I could come and condemn him for it. But he's telling me, he's like, I don't want to be like this anymore. And so the love is not, well, you got to get yourself straightened up. You know, most pastor friends that I know, it was like, you got to get out. You got to straighten yourself. Maybe you got to do these things. It's just like being completely lost and telling somebody, you know what, you're lost. You know where you're going. And most guys would be like, oh, I'll figure it out, Errol. Don't worry about it, honey. We'll get back here. But so people don't even know what's going on. But the point is, it's like sinners will sin. Dogs will bark. Cats will meow. It's just their nature. No matter what we do or condemn people, they're still going to be the same. The only person, the only thing that can change people is Jesus. That's it. It's just Jesus is the one that can transform anybody and turn them around. And if you think that you're going to be able to turn yourself around on your own good merit, then guess what? We don't need Jesus. What's the point of Jesus? Of course, we can still, you know, do things. Often, you know, there's people that they can, you know, quit smoking and do certain things. But the point is, love always takes consideration, why are they like this? What happened that they're in this situation now? Oh, and by the way, would you have handled it as good as they did? I just was watching an article and we heard about that Baptist pastor that shot himself this week. He was a cross-dresser and somebody exposed it. Went and shot himself, right? I don't agree with that, obviously, but I feel for him and his family now. There's obviously something going on in their life. What do people do? They want to be the person. I exposed it. I did these things. I let everybody know. It's me. We're going to really shut this person down. Is that love? Probably not. Doesn't fly off the handle, right? Here we go. Doesn't keep score of the sins of others. I've been around people before, you know, and they're always like, well, you did this and you did this and you did this. Really? Because God forgot it. Isn't that great how you just have people that will do that? That's not loving at all, is it? Forget it. Let's move on. Doesn't revel when others grovel, right? Takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Here we go. Puts up with anything. That's tough. I'll just say this too. I'm not downing other pastors. Don't, because most pastors are great people. I mean, obviously. I believe in pastors, but I've been around people before, other ministers, that if you don't look apart, if you don't have deep pockets, then I don't quite have time for you, right? I've been in things where, you know, we'll have you do leadership, we'll do these things, but when somebody comes along that looks better, is cooler, you know, that has a lot of money, then if there's a chance between me talking to you or this other person, I'll talk to them. Trust God always. Ooh, that's a tough one. always trust God? Are we always trusting God on everything? I'm just saying, you know, he's asked me sometimes to do some pretty difficult things. And you know what? The deeper I go with him, sometimes he asks me to do more and more uncomfortable things. And I'm held more and more accountable. But if I love God, then I believe in his character, and I always trust him that he's going to, whatever he asks me to do is going to be in my best interest. Always looks for the best. Tonight, I'm telling you right now, I am choosing to look at the best of all of you. Amen? Every person in here, I believe the best in you. You can do it. I said it last week, I said it before too. You know, don't get in fear on things. This faith walk is a journey. Even though you may or may not understand some things, I always tell people, keep coming back. You're going to learn more and more and more. I remember the first time I went to a faith church. I grew up Pentecostal. You've heard me say this before, but we were basically tongue-talking Baptists, right? I mean, we didn't know what was going on, you know. Somebody just got, boom, baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was like a big mystery, you know. How'd that happen? And then one of the ladies that was she ended up being my youth, her and her husband, youth pastor, and they were, of course, I was like 13 at the time, you know, when they were like in their old people, 60s, right? That's old. Now I'm creeping. I'm like, oh, crap, I'm almost there. So back then it was like, oh, they're just ancient, you know. But anyway, but back then, you know, she was, and we had, you know, younger folks that were, you know, our youth pastors and everything else too. But this lady took over, and she was always, how can I see? I would watch her, and she'd always flow in the spirit. She's always, Ever seen Katherine Kuhlman? Even know who that is? Anyway, she always wore these long, flowing dresses and very, you know, when she walks, she just glides all over the place, you know, and she's like floating around all over. This lady did, you know, she's really graceful and she talked like this and everything. And she'd always have like always float in the gifts of the Spirit, you know, she'd always, you know, just bust out in tongues and there'd be interpretation. Anyway, this lady, and then I remember one time her and her husband lived in a town next to us. And she had us there one time. There was about half a dozen teenagers. And she's sitting there and she's talking about, now we can't get away. So we're at the house. We don't drive, right? So there's no like, this is just, we're stuck there, right? And we're also like 20 miles from home. So there's no, I'm just going to slip out the door. And no. And then she's talking about an angel manifest and touched her on the face. And I'm like, oh my, you know, I'm 13 years old. I'm thinking, this lady and Jesus are like BFFs. I mean, they're besties, you know, and I'm thinking, how can I even compare to that? But she always spurred me on. But later, when I got into the Word Faith Church, I remember I had a spiritual, it was just something happened with I connected with the usher. That's why it's very important as ushers and people in the health ministry, you are very vital. But I don't remember what the pastor said. Nothing. Nothing. I just remember when I was a kid, all I thought was I saw her, and I'd never spoke in tongues because there was no real clear teaching on it back then. But when I got into the Word of Faith, with Pastor Bill and Tweed and Oscar, him and Julie in Oskaloosa, I just thought, I got to get baptized in the Holy Spirit because I thought of her and I saw other people that were manifest and I just knew that there was something about her when the Holy Spirit hit her. Well, I knew what I wanted. I saw those things when I was younger, but I just had to stay in it long enough to begin to understand things. And as we kept coming back, and after trauma, I thought, I've never heard anything like this before. So him and, you know, he and Brother Hagen, of course, he was, you know, went to Rhema also. Brother Hagin is like a master at the teaching of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's very vital and very important with where we're at. But the main thing is I kept coming back, and the light bulb stopped coming on. One of the things that, and I told this before, but one of the things our church, we went, of course, me and my, you know, we went there, and my parents went there, and my grandparents were there too. And my grandpa's name was Eugene, but they called him Gene. And he, I remember the pastor one Sunday morning, he said, yeah, well, Gene's been trying to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit for the last 20 years and hasn't received it. And I thought, 20 years? That just zapped the faith out of me at that point. And I thought, if it's going to take him 20 years to do it, I mean, I want this. But there was no clear teaching. And what the point is, I kept coming back, right? And I began to learn things. And then, boom, I can just have that right now if I wanted to. And what happened? December 1996, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's completely changed my life, right? I didn't know these. I know I've told these stories before, but I remember it was, I got baptized in December 96. I rededicated myself in, like, about a month later. Adrian and I got married in August. And then it was about a month later, went to church month and a half. Well, it was probably a couple months because we were kind of trying some different churches out. So a couple months later after we got married, we rededicated myself. And then by December of 96, I got baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then all of a sudden, I began to notice things that probably about February, March, I remember just getting my Bible. And I was changing drastically. And of course, you know, we had our Bible studies back then. You know, we had Sunday morning service, we had a Sunday night service, we had a Wednesday night, and Sunday night was really awesome because we watched like a Jack Van Impe. I mean, you know who Jack Van Impe is? He was a guy who has a video and stuff where we watched something. But anyway, but we would have the Bible study at a pastor's house, and I remember I was reading the Book of John, and I told my pastor, I said, "Have you ever read the Book of John? It's just incredible." And he looked at me like, yeah, probably about 100 times. But what happened? It was the light started to come on for me. I started getting some revelation light because why? It didn't happen all at once. And I'm still learning. We're all still learning things. But I had to sit under it long enough for the light to turn on. And it just, at some point, I get it. And I remember going the night. I just remember. And there's just things in the spirit realm that the Holy Spirit will do in your life. It'll brand you and you'll know when things happen. That's why Brother Hagin says things like, I was in McKinney, Texas, and blah, 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 and this northeast corner at this time and everything else too. Because when things in the spirit happen to you, it brands you and you know exactly where you're at, right? And there are things that have happened to me. I knew exactly where I was at and what happened. I remember we were driving along, and I began to hear some of the faith things. And I remember going to our pastor's house for the Sunday night Bible study. Yes, Sunday night. And we went Wednesday night. And it was fabulous. And you know what? We even went to prayer every single day at our church for an hour. We prayed in the Holy Ghost. Whew, those were times. Man, we're going to have more times like that. Amen. It was just wonderful. Right? Because, well, and the thing that is too, I just wanted to be in the presence of God all the whole time. When His Word just wanted it all the time because it's wonderful. I mean, He is fabulous. So anyway, I remember going on the way over there, and I just told Adrian, I'm going to get it tonight. I'm going to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And there was like two lines in his living room of two rows of chairs, and Adrian and I were sitting kind of in the second row, and he goes, I'm going to pray for people and you're going to receive it. Well, he laid his hands on the first lady, and I just went, boom, right then and there. I just got it because I wanted it. But it all comes back to this: trust God, always trust God, and believe. I remember this is just so amazing too. I remember Adrian and I, we were dating, and then we had just, you know, later we got married. But one of the guys that was my baseball coach, he and his wife was actually my children's pastor years ago when I was younger. That's only been like 10 years ago. So, you know, right? No. Where's Mr. Gary's math board at here? But You know, she did that, and they were. He was just such a loving person. And Adrienne said, She prayed this. She says, God, I want to be like them. I want us to be like them. And just those simple prayers, as we trust God, and I remember myself wanting to receive the Holy Spirit. I'm like, Lord, I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to pray in tongues. Just help me with this. And you know what? Because of the love of God, He chases us down, and He'll answer those prayers for us. You look back and you're thinking, you know, the things that I've prayed out in the past, and they've come to pass. But you know what? We need to step back and recognize those things and actually sit back and say, this did answer prayer. God did answer. How many of you ever had that before where you've prayed things and you look back and you're thinking, that actually happened. God actually answered prayer, right? God will sneak things up on you and He'll do things in your life and you're not paying attention. Then you look back a year or two later or whenever and you think, that's incredible. Excuse me. Never looks back. This is good. Love never looks back. Never looks back. Why is that important often? Because the good and the bad. Because we can build our little... Do you realize that when they came over from England, the Puritans, when they got here, they traveled clear across the Atlantic. See, it's Atlantic. See, I know. I don't have a degree in geography, but I got it, okay? Came across the Atlantic when they got here. Do you realize they didn't leave? They stayed within a five-mile radius. You know how many thousands of miles they came? They got to the promise. They got to this new land, and they did not leave. They stayed within a five-mile perimeter of each other. They couldn't see vision beyond where they were at. If we look at the past, all we're going to sit there and see is what we have done, and that's it. We can't see the future. God has new and wonderful things for us. Also, too, but keeps going to the end. It's dangerous if we continue to look back, continue to reflect on things. Now, it's okay to look at things and say, okay, I'm gauging myself as we're going. But if you're basing yourself off the rearview mirror, that's going to have problems. 1 John 2, 9. If each person in here, we could all sit down and say things, if we could talk with each other, you know, spend time together, we could go through and we could talk about even things I see in people here that you've grown. See, you may not see things, but I see things. Adrienne sees things. We, you know, people around you see things. Your kids can see things. Maybe your spouse sees things. That, how many of you feel like you're a different person than 5 years ago? Right? You know what love says? You're going to be even better in the next 5 years. You are. I'm telling you right now, you're going to be a lot better in the next 5 years. I'm telling you right now, mark it down today, 6/24, November 11th, whatever today is, blah, 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 2023, next 5 years, you're going to be better than you were now. Even 10 years ago, I'm thinking, where was I? What? Can I also say something too? You have to love yourself as well. Well, praise the Lord. Pastor's out and go out and get that new purse tonight. Woo! Did you hear him? I get that new diamond ring, baby. I can get that new Snap-on tool set, baby, because he said I need to love myself tonight, right? That means take care of yourself, doesn't it? Right? So that you can take care of other people. 1 John 2, 9 through 11. It says, if anyone claims I am the light, I am living in the light, but hates a fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness. Anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. This is very important because if you love someone, you're not going to be happy when they fall. And I'll tell you what, when I look at the political realm now, I am so frustrated with a lot of these politicians, but I'll tell you what, I feel sorry for these people because a lot of them are blackmailed, and I do feel for them. And it doesn't matter who it is, you still look at things, and you know, no matter who it is in history, you look at even Hitler and Stalin and Mao Zedong, all these people, you're thinking, what happened in your life that you came to this decision? And not to mention the judgment those people are receiving now, but I'm saying, how can you? I remember watching, there's a new movie out. It was at After Death, I think. Have you ever seen that? We went and saw that. Go see it. I'm telling you right, go see it if you haven't seen the movie After Death. And it's all about NDEs. It's all about near-death experiences. And it is a ministry. I think it was the same one that did The Chosen, and they were, you know, some of those other ones that had produced some of those, the series and some other things. But anyway, starts a little slow, and, you know, but I know what their whole thing is. They're trying to reach people that may not believe in the supernatural, okay? I'm not going to give it away. I've already seen some of those testimonies and some other things of some of those people, but one person went, and this is it, it's not a spoiler alert, don't worry, I'm not going to give the movie away, all right? Go see it. It is good. Adrian and I, we took the twins and saw it, but it was really good. And we had a really good conversation. So if you want, take your kids. They're older, you know, because they talk about, you know, some obviously near death. So they talk about some kind of traumatic things. But anyway, one of the guys on there said that when he died, he stepped on the other side, and Jesus said, you know, told him to love people. And he said, I'm only one person. And Jesus told him, somebody's got to change. The change has got to start with somebody. And I'm saying is this, when we walk through this love walk, and it's something that I'm very, 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 you know, again, it's something I'm putting a lot of effort in myself on this love walk, right? It's not something, can I just say something? It's not the stuff that I preach up here, I'm actually trying to apply. Am I perfect? No. But it's something that I'm really, it's conversations that we have at home about. We're talking with our girls about. It's different. It's something that we're placing a real emphasis on in our lives is the love walk. And so as he said, he said, I'm only one person. And Jesus said, no, you can change things. One person can change things. And I thought that was powerful. You know, what if Hitler would have taken that philosophy? Right? What if some of these people would have taken these teachings or, you know, applied 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to their lives? What would this world be like? There is so much power in this because I always think things too, and we'll close here in a second. I always think too, someone had to influence Kenneth Hagin. Right, somebody had to influence, you know, Billy Graham. Someone had to influence Moses. Someone had to, influence David. You know, what was it that David? There was something about David that was so different than his brothers. You know, what was it about Daniel that he said, "I don't care what King Darius says, all I know is I got to pray three times a day. I love God so much, I'm going to break laws to obey you." Something impacted those people in the Bible that drove them. And also, too, the disciples, or later became the apostles, they ended up dying for their faith because of a love that they had for Christ. So again, let's go here. We'll close this scripture here, maybe. I'll try. Again, anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. But anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in the darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. Here we go. A couple things. Love is not a feeling, but love is an action. And it's something that it is a lifelong pursuit. Too many times, I believe, and this is my own opinion, again, you're not subject to this, but I think that we're living in a world where everything, we just, you know, because we were just, I was talking with some folks earlier about, you know, the whole YouTube thing. You know, I mean, you can pull up YouTube and fix your toilet. I mean, there's just everything out there, right? I mean, you can pull up something, you're just like, boop, I got the knowledge. Boop, what? So we're all into pump and dump. It's just basically like we're going to get the knowledge and dump it and go on. We got this, we got this, we got this, we got this. And then it's just funny because, you know, talking with somebody about just different things, about learning different things. And there's no, it's everything. And all, there was a book that came out, if you want to master anything, you got to spend 10,000 hours at it to become a master, I mean, a master at something. We just want a YouTube video that's cool. We can get this or get that. I want to watch a YouTube video. I'm going to be a master piano player in 15 minutes, right? Oh, just know these four chords and you can play all these songs. Okay. I've been down that road before. It doesn't work like that, right? You know, all the things. It's like, you just play this one little pattern and you're a professional musician and it's just so wonderful. No, there's nothing that replaces woodshed, right? You got to spend time with stuff. I mean, I'm sorry, that's just life. And you think we're going to get to heaven on the other side and it's just all going to be so, I'm just going to have this, yes, I believe we're going to have instant download, but there's going to be a process of revelation and learning that's going to take eternity. I mean, do you think we're going to really know everything about God, just boom, like that? It's going to be an absolute eternity, and that still won't be enough time to discover who the Father is. So what happens is we, in our society, want instant gratification, instant knowledge, instant this, instant that. And it doesn't work that way. You know what? And the love walk is not something that we just go watch a video. Got it. It takes effort. It's going to take action. I'm making it myself to do things when I'm even around the house, saying nice things, doing, it's something, it has to be cognitive, it has to be on purpose. Things don't happen, right? Well, I just wish my marriage would better. No, it takes effort. You have to put elbow grease into it. Well, I fell in love. Well, I always like that. I fell in love. Okay. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of feelings at the beginning, but it becomes work. And then what happens is the work is like, well, I must have fallen out of love. No, it's just that spirit of familiarity I've talked about before. It comes in, but you can still see people in a new light if you choose to. That was, you know, and it's so funny because I'll go around the house to my girls, I'll say, you're just perfect. I love you. You're fabulous. Okay, they know they're not perfect. All right? Okay? But I want them to think that I think that they're perfect. Right? Do I really think they're perfect? No. I'm supposed to meet up on the later at supper. And I'll tell you what, when we get home, that revelation will become oh so apparent. But you know what? The whole thing is, I know that. And I still love them. It doesn't matter, right? And we were just, you know, the girls, we were talking the other night, and I said, it doesn't matter what you do. This isn't giving you a license to do the wrong thing. But my point is, it doesn't matter what you do. I'm still always going to be just love you no matter what. So there's nothing that can ever separate my love from you. That's it. But you know, the cool thing is when you do that and you let people know that it doesn't matter what they do, you love them, Love casts out all fear. And so you eliminate fear in their life, right? You help eliminate insecurity. You let them know that they are loved and they don't have to be afraid of doing something that's going to mess things up, right? Because you know what? If you the people you love and you know that they love you and they have your best interests at heart, psychologically speaking, most people will want to please that other person. Right? And I know that God, the Father, loves me and I absolutely love Him. And I talk with Him and we just have a great time, right? And because of the love that we have together, all I want to do is obey Him. I'm interested in Him. And you know, we can talk about covenant, we can talk about all these things, and that is true. We can go to God, we can demand things and everything, but it all really comes down to a love and a passion for one another that you're willing to give up everything for the other person. I believe that when you have a revelation of love, that will open your understanding of God. And you'll be able to connect with Him. You'll actually be able to connect. I hear people so many times they'll say things like, well, I don't hear God's voice, I don't hear God's voice, I don't hear God's voice. Can I just tell you something? When you walk around your house and you begin to vocalize your love for God, He will manifest. He will. Because God inhabits the praises of His people. And when you begin to vocalize things of your heart for Him, things are going to change. You're going to have a new understanding. If you view God through everything, His whole approach to you is all about your best interest and Him loving you, then you're going to see drastic changes in your faith with Him. You're going to see drastic changes in your marriage, relationship with your kids. Every area of your life is going to change supernaturally, I guarantee you. Well, I'm trying to get faith. You just have faith that God loves you and you're in that, you have faith. I mean, it's there. What was the whole thing with Jesus? His whole thing was He just loved the Father. And the scariest thing, and I didn't understand it for a long time until it hit me years ago, but when He is on the cross and He says, Father, why have you forsaken me? That was His lifeline. It was not the power and all the miracles and everything of losing those things. Even on the cross, while He was dying, the panic or I want to say Jesus was in fear, but the place where Jesus, you see some real conflict in that was obviously the Garden of Gethsemane, when He said, "If it's not Your will, let this cup pass before me." Basically, if there's another way, instead of going to the cross, Father, please open that up. And then another time, as was He on the cross, right before He gave up the ghost, yielded His ghost, the King James says, He asked, "Why have You forsaken me?" And it's why? Because the Father turned His head away from sin, and that was the only time that Jesus was separated from the Father. The love walk is, I'm telling you, when you do read it, your thought process towards the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and those people around you, it will change drastically. Your spiritual walk with Him, it's going to drastically change, right? And guess what? You feel better about it too. Everything in the Word, it all comes back to you feel better. It makes you. It may hurt in the process, but it's going to be benefit for you. Father, we thank You so much, Jesus. Jesus, we love You. We thank You so much for Your ministry. God, tonight I just thank You so much that there's forgiveness and there's love tonight. And Lord Jesus, we thank You so much that You loved us. We thank You, Jesus, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But whosoever shall believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, we thank you that you loved us. And Lord, that we would walk and flow in your love that has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit according to Romans 5:5. And Jesus, we glorify you. We thank you so much. We love you in return. And God, my prayer tonight is that we begin to have a deeper revelation of the love walk for you and also those around us, Lord Jesus. And help us, Holy Ghost, and to develop us in these areas. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, everybody have a great week.